the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
I am always a sucker for a good pastrami on rye sandwich. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. It is great to have you with us today. 3 hours of great conservative common sense conversation coming your way. And by the way, our telephone number, and write this down, we will be getting to your calls, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Now, when I was living in New York City working at Fox News, we were blessed to be right around the corner from Carnegie Deli, which was the famous deli right across from Carnegie Hall. And they were known for their giant sandwiches. I mean, you could feed an entire family of four with one of their sandwiches. And they were known for their pastrami on rye, as was Katz Deli, by the way, which was made famous in the movie When Harry Met Sally. Many of you remember that movie. The pastrami, there's a big competition in the world about the best pastrami in America. And a lot of people are saying that the best pastrami is actually not in New York City. It is not at Katz Deli, but rather it is at Langer's Deli in Los Angeles, California. And they're known for their world famous number 19 pastrami sandwich. I had no idea. But they have the Swiss cheese and the Russian dressing. Dylan, have you ever had a pastrami on rye? I know your food palate is a little particular.
Just the meat and cheese.
So all right. Well, you would enjoy this. You would look, it's lovely. If you like rye bread, you got to have it on rye, though. And then they put the little coleslaw on it, and it's a delicious sandwich. And what I love about it, it's a big sandwich at Langer's, but it's not like massive like Carnegie. You could feed a family of two with that, with their sandwich. Anyway, they're very well known. Also, they have amazing brisket. And these delis, and especially in New York City, if you're looking for a good brisket, you're going to be able to get a good brisket. But I digress. Back to Langer's Deli. They have been in business in Los Angeles for 76 years. And they're just across the street from MacArthur Park. Many of you familiar with the disco age will remember the disco song MacArthur Park. It's actually a real park, and it's a beautiful park there in downtown Los Angeles, and they have a lake in the middle of the park. And it was once a massive tourist destination until really the past couple of years. And now that whole area of Los Angeles looks like a third world slum right in the middle of downtown Los Angeles. Now, many people go to Los Angeles, there are certain things you have to go and see, and one of them is Langer's Deli. But now we are being told that Langer's Deli could be on the verge of shutting down. I want you to listen to this news report from Los Angeles.
I'm from New York, and I would say this was better than Katz's.
Loaded with love, better get it while it's hot, because this prized pastrami may soon be no more. Norm Langer's may close the L.A. staple his dad started nearly 80 years ago because of the constant chaos right outside these doors. Mayhem at MacArthur Park that locals say resembles a third world country.
You never even see a kid playing on the playground in the park anymore.
Because they can't. It's not safe. Too many needles. Too much fentanyl. Too much drugs.
The park is packed with drugs, crime, trash, and violence. A couple months ago, homicide here. LAPD says a homeless man dragged the dead body into the lake at about 8 a.m. Police crackdowns, posting these pictures of illegal vendor sales, this one including meth.
People walking around here taking their clothes off, walking around naked. You know, it's nuts. I don't want to spoil anybody's appetite, but you've got a problem with defecation on sidewalks. There's somebody that's strung out on drugs. There's something they're trying to make a score on fentanyl. They're passed out on the sidewalk. And the city is lame in doing something about it.
We've reached out to City Councilwoman Eunices Hernandez, but have yet to hear back. The Langer says business is down 30% since the pandemic, and there's very little police patrol. He blames it on the decision to defund the police and a soft-on-crime DA.
2 years ago, there was $1.5 million put up to straighten out the park. They fenced it off, took one side at a time. They got in and they cleaned up the whole park. They redid it. It was beautiful. Not anymore.
Well, that's the thing, is that they just keep coming back. You can clean it up, and then the next day they come back. So what do we do?
We don't have a sustained effort, and that's the problem.
So there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. That is it in a nutshell. And all of the deli mustard in the world will not be able to cover up the problems facing the city of Los Angeles right now. Now, at this very moment, Kamala Harris and Tampon Timmy Walz and the Democrats are telling you through their propagandists in the mainstream media that there is no crime problem in America. They're literally telling us that everything is fine, that crime is actually down across the nation and especially in large urban centers. Places like Los Angeles, places like New York City and Chicago and Memphis, Tennessee. And I am here to tell you that that is simply not true. Now, maybe you have seen something different in your towns and your communities, but I am telling you right now that crime is off the charts. But let me explain what's going on. Because here in Memphis, Tennessee, we have a radical progressive in the mayor's office. And this guy is clueless, absolutely clueless about how to fix what is broken here. They will not fund the police department at the levels that it needs to be funded at. They do not have the backs of the police officers. You have a radical city council full of women who are AOC wannabes. And it's like The View. The city council meetings are like The View. And you feel bad for the handful of guys that are still on the city council, but it's majority female. And it's like walking into a cat fight every day. Nothing's getting done. And so the mayor came up with a brilliant strategy. He said the problem is that the news organizations are reporting crime, and that is nothing more than negative propaganda. So he ordered the police department to stop releasing information about any crimes in Memphis, Tennessee. So then the mayor comes out and announces, after about a month of banning the police department from releasing crime information, the mayor comes out and says, guess what, everybody? Crime is down in Memphis. Crime is not down in Memphis. They're just not allowing the police department to report on the crimes. I want to give you an example. Here's how bad it is. As I was coming in yesterday to the studio, there was a guy who passed a police car behind me, or two cars behind me. And then there was this guy who was behind me who moved over without even putting on his blinker to pass me on the roadway. It was an SUV. It had no back windows at all. There was duct tape holding up the doors, and there was no license plate. So my question is, you've got a police officer, they're tailing this car with no back windows, no taillights, making an illegal turn, and they didn't pull the guy over. And I don't blame the cops. You want to know why? Because they're not allowed to pull people over. If they do, they get accused of racial profiling. So the police officers now, if there is a crime being committed and that person is a certain skin color, they're not able to intervene because they don't want to be accused of being racist. And that's what's happening in Los Angeles, and that's especially what's happening in New York City, where you've got illegals and these Venezuelan gangs that are causing all sorts of problems. You say, Todd, what does this have to do with politics? It has everything to do with politics, ladies and gentlemen. When you look at the polling data out there, it is very clear to me that crime is the top concern. Aside from the economy, crime is the top concern. And it is dangerous. People are literally packing up their businesses and going somewhere else. And that's what's happening. By the way, in New York City, you had a radio station, WCBS, which just went out of business. They changed formats. And you had a reporter there. Her name is Kelly Dillon. I said WCBS. I meant 1010 Winds. 1010 Winds is the all-news talk station in New York City. Kelly Dillon was walking outside of the building. She was just on the streets of New York City, and she was brutally attacked. They grabbed her hair from behind, and they body slammed her onto the pavement. This is a 20-year news veteran in New York City. I mean, it's really that bad. Now, fortunately, Ms. Dillon, she was injured. She was beaten up, but she survived. She's going to be okay. Her injuries are going to heal. But as she wrote on her, or she didn't write, she was doing a TikTok video. And she said, this is the reality here. And again, the city leaders are saying, everything is fine. It's just beautiful. The sunny blue skies and people are frolicking about. No, they're not frolicking. They're running to get where they're going to so they don't get mugged. Kelly Dillon, the reporter from 1010 Winds in New York City, says, quote, there are many crimes being committed, random acts, random attacks on females on the streets. It's not going away and it's not getting any better. It's getting much, much worse. And the media and the police are downplaying this. Here you have a reporter who is telling you that even the media is downplaying all of this. She says it is a huge, huge problem. And she's right. She goes on to say that I'm always on guard now walking through the city as a young female alone. She says the attackers were an organized group of men with a vendetta against women. She says they're absolutely trying to downplay this, but it can't be downplayed. The streets are not safe for women in New York City or for anybody right now. And she's right. And I hate it. I hate it because I see so many good businesses here in Memphis, Tennessee. Our restaurant industry has been decimated by crime. And yet the local newspapers, and they're all run by far leftists, and they'll say, well, it's really just COVID. So they're still they're dealing with the ramifications of COVID. No, it's not COVID. It's crime, you pinheads. That's the problem here. But nobody wants to talk about it. Well, how dare you? Are you saying that all people of a certain skin color are just criminals? No, I'm saying the people of a certain skin color committing crimes are criminals, you morons. And I want my pastrami on rye, for God's sakes. Is that too much to ask, America? Is it too much to ask? All right. 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. So the bottom line here, folks, all of you people in Los Angeles, you voted for Democrats. You voted for soft-on-crime Democrats, and guess what? Now you're not going to get any pastrami. I hope you are happy, Los Angeles.
There's a communist plot to take over America. The new documentary, Beneath Sheep's Clothing, exposes the dark truth.
Marxism-Leninism ideology is being pumped into the soft heads of American students.
America's schools have been turned into Marxist-Maoist re-education centers.
Here's the thing about communism. When it comes knocking at your door, it doesn't say, hi, I'm here to impoverish, enslave, and murder you. It says, I'm here to liberate you from oppression.
You take over the colleges of education, then you take over all the teachers, then you take over all the students, and thus you get the future.
Beneath Sheep's Clothing reveals the communist infiltration of America's education system, churches, and media. Will a political revolution be next? Or will we the people wake up and reclaim our freedoms?
Destroy the opposing country through unconventional methods.
Take America without firing a shot.
Don't miss Beneath Sheep's Clothing. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com at SalemNow.com.
It's beyond the fact that I like pastrami on rye. I just hate seeing all of these businesses going belly up, these grocery stores pulling out of these communities. And it's because we will not deal with crime, and that is on the Democrats. And Kamala Harris can flip-flop as much as she wants to, but the reality is until the voters wake up and decide that, hey, you know what? We don't want to live like this anymore. And by the way, somebody said, Todd, it's unfair for you to call it a third world country because people in third world countries are at least trying to better themselves. We are literally watching the Democrat Party destabilize our nation. That's what's happening right now. We are watching the Democrat Party completely unravel who we are as a people. So much so that you can't even go out to a local bar without having to worry about whether or not your car is still going to be there. That's how bad it is. 901-260-5926. Let's go to Kurt in Memphis, Tennessee, KWAM. Kurt, am I exaggerating how bad crime is in Memphis, Tennessee?
God, you're not even close. I mean, the crime is way high. I mean, you're right. They're not letting them report it on TV. One of our guys just got fired over something that, you know, I'm not going to mention his name or the company he's won, but and the lady filed sexual battery charges on him out here in Memphis. Right, he's a white guy, you know. Not that that really has to do with anything. Whites are committing crimes too, but they hit his bond at $75,000. Took him $7,500 to get out of jail. He had to sit there for 2 days before he came up with the money. All right, the rail guard shooter just got kicked by a judge on ROR for shooting four people.
Now let me stop here, Kurt, because this is a national audience, so they're not going to know what rail garden is. That is a very popular, hugely popular bar, restaurant, kind of outdoor gathering event space. And a couple of weeks ago, a guy opened fire, shot four people. And you're right, he was set free, released on his own recognizance. And the reason why, Kurt, is because of skin color. I mean, that's the reality of Memphis, Tennessee.
That is it. I see crime. I've been on this job for two different companies. I do a lot of driving in Memphis and the surrounding area. I've seen how crimes happen in front of me. I've seen one of my good buddies almost got shot, just delivered some paperwork because he was just in the wrong place at the wrong time, broad open daylight.
So, you know, Kurt, when you hear people like Mayor Paul Young out there saying crime is on the way down and it's dropping dramatically, what do you say to that?
It's not. He's lying. He's a far leftist liar is all he is, you know.
That's it. And Kurt, it's happening in other cities. I mean, this seems to be coming out of talking points the Democrats are passing around in advance of the election because they see the same polling data. It's all about immigration. It's all about crime. And it's about the economy. Those are the big issues that are driving people to the polls.
I mean, I live in Tipton County. I just work in Memphis and the surrounding area. And this stuff don't fly out there. I mean, there's no bond. You commit crimes out there, you go to jail.
That's the way it should be. I don't care if you're white, black, or polka dot. You go to jail if you commit a crime. Kurt, appreciate you listening to us, and you be safe there in Tipton County and be safe on the roads. By the way, you folks in Mississippi, this is insane. So the governor there, Tate Reeves, a Republican, just announced that they have been spending tons of your tax money to take care of illegal aliens in Mississippi, the Magnolia State. Are you ready for this? $100 million. $100 million. That's how much they're spending in Mississippi. Now, some of you may be wondering, well, why do the illegals want to go to Mississippi? They may not have had a choice. They may have just said, all right, let's ship them over to Mississippi. I don't know. I don't know, people. It's crazy out there. I've got to say something to you when we come back from the break. I want to talk to all you Republicans out there because we've got a country to save here, folks. We have a country to save, and you're going to be part of it. All right, 901-260-5926, our number. This is the Todd Stern Show. You've asked and MyPillow listened. The most requested offer ever. Right now, you can get the queen-size premium MyPillow for only $19.98. Hi, this is Todd Stearns, and I love MyPillow, made with patented adjustable fill. It adjusts to your exact individual needs regardless of your sleep position, and it helps keep your neck aligned. It holds its shape all night long so you get the best sleep of your life. But that's not all. You can also get a six-piece kitchen or towel bath set for only $25 and the brand-new mattress topper for as low as $69.98. Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-839-8506. Use promo code STARNS to get huge discounts on all MyPillow products, including the premium queen-size MyPillow for only $19.98. That's the lowest price ever. So don't delay. Order now. Use my promo code STARNS at MyPillow.com or call 800-839-8506. All right, so the latest news here is that Kamala Harris cannot do a sit-down interview on her own. So the news coming out late yesterday, CNN got first crack at Kamala Harris, but instead it's going to be a tag team interview, and she's bringing along Tampon Timmy. So this is there are a lot of questions here about this, and there's a lot to unravel. But bear with me for just a moment as we delve into the world of sexism for just a moment. Here's how this is going to go down. So Tampon Timmy is basically saying that he's bringing the little lady along for the interview. He's going to be there just in case she needs help. So what's going to happen is she's going to get tongue-tied. She's going to start talking about school buses or Venn diagrams. She's going to drop the F-bomb or something, or she'll just start cackling. And that's when Tampon Timmy is going to step in and try to save the day. Now, a lot of this, and we're still getting some of the details, but it's our understanding this is going to happen tomorrow. It's going to be broadcast tomorrow. This will be a pre-taped interview, all right? A pre-taped interview. I want to see the entire unedited interview. And if I were CNN, that's what I would do. I would have one camera running as soon as they walk in. They walk in, sit down, they start the interview. All of this is on tape. That's what CNN ought to air tomorrow night. Now, a lot of people are saying, well, Dana Bash, she did a good job at that, at the debate with Joe Biden and Donald Trump. And she had the old guy rattled. No, I think you need to hold off for a moment there. That was all a setup. That was all a setup. CNN was told to take out Joe Biden during that debate. That's what that was all about. So I'm not terribly convinced that Dana Bash here is going to step up to the mark and call out Kamala Harris. The first question I would ask, and this is just me, yours truly, the first question I always ask is, Kamala. What? I'm sorry, what's your name again? Can we just call you Mrs. Harris? Is that okay? Beyond that, I would ask the following question. So why is it that you couldn't do this interview solo? That would be the first question I would ask. Because we don't care about the VP. We know he's a nut job. We want to know about her. We want to know about her policies. And I want to know about the flip-flops. Every single flip-flop, I would play the tape. And we've got it. We've got the goods on her, ladies and gentlemen. And we're going to get to that in just a moment. Let's go to the phone lines here, 901-260-5926, Chicago. Christopher is hanging out with us on our Rumble channel. Hi, Christopher. What's on your mind?
Hey, Todd. How's it going? I'm a huge fan of your show. Thank you for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
Awesome. So I just want to say that I think Kamala Harris will be fed lines, not through, you know, Tampon Tim, but none other than former President Barack Hussein Obama. And I think they're going to ask her a lot of softball questions, just like they did with Biden, asking her what her favorite color is or asking her what her favorite flavor of ice cream is. So don't expect that to be a hard-hitting interview, in my opinion, of course.
How big of a deal is it, though, Christopher, that here you have a candidate running for office, and if it was Trump, this would be a major news story. But she is yet to sit down for an in-depth interview. And why do you think that is? Why do you think she's afraid of going before the cameras?
Well, because they know that she's going to mess up, and they know that she's not, you know, this savior that the Democrats have tried to present her to be for the last, 38, 39 days. I mean, it's interesting how just 2 months ago they were saying that she was going to be replaced and how Biden couldn't trust her. But now all of a sudden she's going to be the next savior to lead us into the lead the Democrats into the next decade or so. Give me a break.
I mean, say what you want to about Donald Trump, folks, but at least here's a guy that is standing there taking the questions, doing the interviews. You may not like how he says it or what he says, but at least he's sitting down there and he's willing to defend his policies. And honestly, Christopher, this ought to concern the Democrats more than the Republicans, because she's flip-flopping a lot of issues that are very important to those progressives.
Oh, absolutely. And at least Trump has given press conferences. I mean, people say whatever they want to say about him, but at least the guy's willing to sit down with all these news organizations. Same thing with J.D. Vance. I mean, the guy's talking to MSDNC. He's talking to CNN, and they're giving him hardball questions, but you don't see him ducking and dodging like, you know, Kamala and Timmy.
That's true. It's a great point. Hey, Christopher, appreciate you calling in. Thank you for watching the Rumble channel, and give us a holler back, 901-260-5926. I mean, Christopher's right here. Good first-time caller. By the way, here's Scott Jennings over on CNN. The more I hear this guy, the more I love watching CNN just for Scott Jennings going toe-to-toe with all of these leftists over there, cut number four.
Is the line now going to be, well, why isn't she doing it by herself?
Yeah, I do think people are going to bring that up. Look, I have great confidence in Dana and CNN to do this. I think it's incredibly weak sauce to show up with your running mate. The fact that they don't have enough confidence in her to let her sit herself, the actual top of the ticket, and do a single interview. In fact, I think the hand-wringing and the gyrations over this over the last month show a troubling lack of confidence in her political ability, which also makes you wonder as a voter, well, what kind of president would you be if this kind of a small time decision, can we do an interview or not? What does that look like for your decision making process? So on. So I think Republicans are going to think it's pretty weak to show up with effectively someone to take up half the time.
Calls it weak sauce, donkey sauce. Now, here's Joe Concha over at Fox, and he's one of their media guys. And he agrees with me. He says, we need to release the entire interview online, unedited. And you know why they're doing this? They're doing this because when she starts, when she starts doing that, they're going to edit that out. They're going to edit it out. That's why they're doing it. They're going to make her, CNN is going to try to make her look as presidential as humanly possible. But keep in mind that just a few weeks ago, this woman was, they were almost ready to show her the door. They were ready to bring somebody else on to be Joe's nursemaid. I mean, that's how crazy this is. Here's Joe Concha.
Why can't Kamala Harris do this interview by herself? It is a great question, Todd. Why does she have to bring along her running mate with her? As for this interview, CNN being CNN, they agreed, Todd, to allow Kamala Harris and Tim Walz to do a pre-taped interview. Why, one would ask, isn't the interview live? Oh, and another question, because this is a very good question, why did Kamala Harris and Tim Walz choose CNN in this particular situation? Donald Trump, J.D. Vance, they have done multiple interviews recently live, because live means no editing afterwards. It means no manipulation, no omission of the content. But by doing a pre-taped interview, CNN can now package this interview, they can homogenize it, and they could also omit any Thousand Island word salads that Kamala Harris and Tim Walz serve up. So here's a request to CNN, to Dana Bash specifically, and it's a simple one. Release the entire interview on CNN.com, online, unedited. I don't think that should be too hard of an ask right here, Todd. I mean, because I want to see the whole thing. I don't want to see whatever they produce afterwards.
Yeah, I do, too. I want to see it all. I want to see it all. But, folks, we are going to be in for a rough couple of months here. And I know that the New York Times and Washington Post and others have been calling out Kamala and a lot of her policies, and I appreciate that, but that is not going to last. They're going to turn all of their wrath, all of their fire on Donald Trump. Now, I want to say this to the Republicans listening, and I wrote a little blurb on Facebook, and it caused a bit of a kerfuffle. But I'm standing by every single thing I said. I always do, by the way. You may not You may not like what I'm talking about, right? You may not like it, but I will say this, that one of the things that you can take to the bank is you are going to know my opinion. You are going to know how I feel about something. And there are a lot of grifters in the Trump orbit. People who have either changed their political views, they are looking to make money, they really are not committed to the conservative ideology, the conservative way of life. And these people are just out to make a buck. And many of them are on X. They're on Facebook. Some of them have talk radio programs. And they're in it for themselves. With me, I just share with you what I believe. And in that spirit, I got to tell you, Republicans, you got to knock it off. You got to knock off the nonsense. I know there are a lot of people who are pro-life out there, a lot of people who are evangelical Christians, a lot of people who are never Trumpers. I get it. You're not happy with how things have gone. And I get it. I'm not happy either. I really believe that the GOP made a big mistake on what they did with the party platform. But you know what? That decision's already been made. They're not going back and fixing it. We can address that down the road, and you better believe we're going to do it. But right now, that's not the point. The point is we have a presidential nominee. We have a vice presidential nominee. We have congressional nominees. We have down ballot nominees. The primaries, as far as I know, are over. There may be a few more out there, but by and large, the primaries are over. We've got our ticket from top to bottom. And I understand that a lot of you are disappointed. But to go out there and say, well, I'm just not going to go vote. I'm not going to go vote. Okay, that means you're voting for Kamala Harris. I mean, it's as plain spoken as I can be. If you're not going to go vote, that is a vote for the other side. So we got to work hard, folks. We've got to work hard. And let me tell you something. And pro-lifers, I get it. But hear me on this. Donald Trump, you went to Donald Trump and you said, Mr. President, we want Roe v. Wade overturned and we want the abortion issue decided at the state level. And guess what happened? Donald J. Trump delivered on that promise. He nominated constitutionalists to the Supreme Court. And those constitutionalists are responsible for sending Roe v. Wade, sending the abortion issue back to the states. Donald Trump delivered on that promise. But now, all of a sudden, you've got the pro-life movement saying, well, but what we really want, Mr. President, is a federal ban on abortion. Well, that's all well and good, but you can't change horses in the middle of the stream. I hope I got that metaphor right. You know what I'm talking about. You can't do that. And by the way, Trump is a smart man. He understands that right now the country's not ready for that. Do you hear me on this? The country's not ready for a total and complete ban on abortion. How dare you? I knew it. I knew you weren't a Christian, that Todd Starnes. No, that has nothing to do with it. We're not talking about a religious issue. We're talking about the political side of that religious issue, that moral issue. Do I want to ban all abortion in America? Absolutely. But I got to tell you something. If you're going to be an absolutist, if you're going to go out there and say that if you are a candidate and you don't support a complete and total ban on abortion, I'm not going to vote for you. Okay, fine. But let me explain what's happened right now. I'm getting the text message. How can you say that, Todd? How can you say something? The country's not ready. What does that say about the country? We're a sinful country. What do you want me to say? We're not there yet. That's just you talking. No, it's not me talking. Seven times the abortion issue has been on the ballot since Roe v. Wade was overturned. Seven times in pro-life states. And seven times that issue went down in crushing defeats. And there are pro-lifers out there who will say the better alternative is for us to lose every single election instead of compromising. And that may be your position. But if that is your position, then pro-lifers, guess what? you are supporting post-birth abortion. Because if you stay home and you don't vote, I will promise you this, the Democrats will win, and they will be killing babies as they're coming out of their mother's womb. That's what happens when you don't vote. So not voting means you are voting for things like post-birth abortions. You've got open borders, the radical sex and gender surgeries, the crackdowns on free speech. You're voting for all of this if you don't vote. And I've seen, man, people are fired up on X over this, fired up. But I'm just telling you right now, ladies and gentlemen, to suck it up, buttercup. I didn't get everything I wanted in the party platform either. I did not. And you know what? When it comes time around to have that discussion, you better believe I'm going to be fighting tooth and nail to get those things back into the party platform. I'm going to do that. But I lost that battle. Sometimes you win, sometimes you lose. That doesn't mean you take your ball and you go home. It means you start fighting again. So for the sake of the country, I just want to beg you folks that are out there threatening to stay home and not vote, set aside your hurt feelings. Because right now, it's going to take all of us. What about Robert F. K. Jr.? He's not a conservative. No, he's not a conservative. But you know what? He's a patriot. What about Tulsi Gabbard? She's pro-choice. She's a patriot. She served her country. And I may not agree with her on anything. But you know what? She loves America. We can agree on that. And it's going to take every single one of us, folks. It's going to take the born-again Christian. It's going to take that conservative who might be marching in a gay pride parade. It's going to take all of us to stop the communist. Because they're coming for all of us, folks. You better believe it. They're coming for all of us. So let's knock it off. Let's unite. And let's get Donald Trump across that finish line. 901-260-5926, our number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-702-5400. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-702-5400. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-702-5400.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
All right, the Trump War Room. Reminding us 39 days since Kamala Harris has actually held any kind of an interview. And someone sent me a text a few moments ago. All right, fine, interview. What about a press conference? What about an unscripted press conference? And it's a great question. But we have seen for the past 3.5 years, we have seen Kamala Harris. She cannot conduct an interview at all. So anyway, Trump War Room says, here are some of the questions Kamala needs to be asked. If you are actually capable of lowering prices for Americans, why haven't you done it in the 3.5 years you've been in office? And by the way, if Kamala Harris has flip-flopped and now she supports a border wall, why hasn't she come out and announced that publicly? And why hasn't she called on the president, Joe Biden, if he is still with us? What? No, I'm not. We just haven't seen the guy, Dylan. I'm not insinuating anything. But why hasn't she called on Biden to reverse his policy? She said housing affordability would be a day one priority if she's elected. Why is it not a priority now? Again, they want you to think, ladies and gentlemen, the propagandists in the media, they want you to think that Kamala Harris is not a part of the Biden administration. As a matter of fact, Politico's coming under fire because you had J.D. Vance out there saying, well, you know, it's the Biden-Harris administration. And Politico says, how dare you? How dare you tether Kamala Harris to Joe Biden? You pinheads. She's already tethered to Joe Biden. She's the vice president. But they want you to forget about that. We're not going to forget. All right, hang tight, everybody. We got to try to track down a pastrami on rye. We'll be right back.
Are you feeling overwhelmed by the increasing cost of health insurance? Have you had enough of not having control over your healthcare dollars? Introducing ShareRight, healthcare done the right way. At ShareRight, you're not just a number. You're part of a caring community. And forget about paying excessive premiums. With ShareRight, you can save 30 to 50% compared to health insurance. Think about what you could do with all those savings. But it's more than just savings. ShareRight ensures that you have access to the care you deserve, precisely when you need it. From routine checkups to unexpected emergencies, with ShareRight, your healthcare is our top priority. Empower yourself today by taking control of your healthcare costs. Visit joinshareright.org to learn more and see how much you can save. Visit joinshareright.org for healthcare done the right way. That's joinshareright.org. ShareRight is a program of IHS, one of the fastest growing healthcare sharing organizations in the country.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
All right, we're getting some new polling data in, ladies and gentlemen. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. So very happy to have you with us today. Before we go to our next guest... this new polling data coming in from Pennsylvania, which, again, is a battleground state. There is a world-famous family-owned bakery there, Locals Bakery, L-O-C-H-E-L-S. I hope I pronounced that correctly. Locals Bakery. And it's our understanding that every year they do, or every presidential cycle, they do a poll. And this poll could be pretty interesting. They make two cookies. One is a red Republican cookie. The other is a blue Democrat cookie. In this particular instance, one is labeled Trump and the other is labeled Harris. And it's our understanding that the cookies are already selling like hotcakes. And right now, Trump is trouncing Kamala Harris in the cookie poll. Trump at over 2,074 cookies sold to Kamala Harris's 215 cookies. So that would be a landslide in the cookie poll there at Locals Bakery in the Philadelphia suburbs. So there you have it. I'm not sure if this is actually, again, Trafalgar's is kind of the gold standard in polling, but I will say this. In the last presidential election, 2020, they sold more than 31,000 Trump cookies, and Biden only sold 5,000. And Biden, of course, well, you know how that ended. Let's go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, and we're very honored to have with us the chairman of the Republican Study Committee in the House, Congressman Kevin Hearn from Oklahoma. Congressman, hope you're doing well there.
Todd, I am. I love your polling, too. That's great polling.
It's a delicious poll, Congressman. let's just hope the numbers stay accurate there.
Amen.
Wow. So, Congressman, a lot going on here, and it's hard to keep up with the flip-flopping of Kamala Harris and her policies. But I'm just – nobody's asked this question. I'm going to ask you. It just seems to me the Democrats should be more upset over this than the Republicans because she's betraying a lot of their progressive policies right now.
Yeah, it sounds like Kamala Harris is on the Trump ticket. That's what it sounds like because she's adopting every policy that he had as a president and as the policies that he's running to be reelected. So I'm not sure where she's coming from. You know, we've – over our lifetimes, we hear about flip-flopping – and the majority of those issues, in fact, I can only think of one Republican flip-flop, the infamous read my lips, no new taxes. And now you see what that cost, then George Herbert Walker Bush. But, you know, when you look at Kamala Harris, she has flipped on everything. She's flipped on fracking. She was against it. Now she's for it. She's against the wall. Now she's for it. She's against Medicare for all. And now she's for private insurance. I mean, this lady is all over the board, and she won't sit down to be nailed down on these policies. You know, I know that they're supposed to be sitting down tomorrow afternoon on that one channel that, you know, we'll see how that goes. And hopefully, you know, Dana Bash does a great job of challenging on this. You know, I'm suspect that they won't. But let's see and hope that they do, that she gets challenged. I mean, Kamala Harris gets challenged on these inconsistencies in her policy.
I mean, credit to the New York Times and the Washington Post. They've been asking some pretty tough questions on their editorial pages. I don't think that's going to continue because they're going to turn on. Well, they've already turned on Trump, but I think they're going to go full bore against Trump. But at least right now they're asking important questions, especially when it comes to her economic policies.
Well, you certainly saw today that we were starting to see some of these leaked out. The Wall Street Journal had a pretty detailed of her details of her tax policy, and she wants to knock the dust off of the Senator Ron Wyden plan, which is to tax unrealized gains. And for all the listeners out there, basically what that means is your equity in your house, you know, through you paying your payments and you taking care of your home and the economy and, you know, things like that rising, you're going to pay taxes on that. And some would say, oh, that's only for the millionaires. Listen, I've not seen a tax policy yet at some point in time down the road that they figure out to change the parameters to get more people paying taxes. I mean, we've got to remember our tax code that we have today, when it was originally started back in the early 1900s, was only going to tax the uber wealthy. And now everybody in America, you know, is being taxed at every level of their life. And so don't think that, you know, this narrative that it's only going to impact the millionaires is truthful. It's a complete lie.
Well, and I'm in addition to hosting a national radio show, I own a news talk radio station. So I'm one of those small business owners out there. And, you know, I'm already looking at property taxes being increased in the Memphis area by upwards of almost 20%. I mean, you have to wonder, will the average American actually be able to afford to stay in their home if Kamala Harris is elected and implements these policies?
Well, stay in their home, grow their businesses, their small businesses into bigger businesses. All of that hard work that you've done to capture that equity so that you might be able to, you know, create programs for your employees to do profit sharing, or, you know, God forbid, in the Democrat world, hand down businesses and farms to your next generation. That's all going to be killed. And it's going to be killed under the narrative that unearned income now is income for tax purposes. That's completely in violation of the definition of income. It's not earned. So we're going to have a lot of going on. And this is why it's so incumbent we get President Trump in office in November while we keep the House and win the Senate. We cannot have these kind of policies. These are devastating policies. These are economy-altering policies that will destroy the economy as we know it. And it's, as you just pointed out, it's not just Republicans say that. It is Democrats saying that as well, that they are very concerned about the policies they're seeing come out of the Kamala Harris camp.
Congressman, I want to switch gears for a moment. We had a pretty startling revelation coming out, that letter that Mark Zuckerberg sent to the House Judiciary Committee. And, I mean, we all knew what they were doing over at Facebook. We knew that. My concern is that when you actually step back for a moment, what they did and what the Biden administration did, which I think is even worse, is that they basically forced Facebook's hand here to some extent. It looks to me like this was election interference back in 2020. Am I off base there?
You're not. And, you know, rightfully so. There have been many hearings, both on the Democrat and Republican side, based on what our big social media companies have done, sometimes for different reasons. But, you know, because they've gone in on their own, meaning Facebook or, you know, Instagram or Twitter, and killed conservative talk. But what now we're hearing is that the U.S. government, the Biden administration, coming in and demanding that Zuckerberg and team take down these posts. I don't want the truth to be heard. They don't want people's voices to be heard. You know, sort of an indirect violation of your First Amendment rights, even though it's on a very public platform. But it is very concerning. And even Zuckerberg, you know, admonished himself and his people and his own company, once being called out by Jim Jordan and others, that we should have pushed back on this. This is a detrimental to the value of our company, to who we stand as people. And so you see a little bit of remorsefulness there. We're also finding out, you know, now late in the game here that Joe Biden's not running again. We're finding out all of this stuff. It's leaking out. I think it's by design. I think the Democrats are turning coat on Joe Biden as they have for, you know, for the last few months, and rightfully so in many cases. But we're also seeing, as we saw the report released from, you know, from judiciary and from oversight and ways and means, more in-depth coverage on the Hunter Biden and the Biden family and how much money they took from China and Russia. All these things are coming out now, and this is really answers the question, or asks the question that we need to have answered by Kamala Harris. When did you know this was happening? And, you know, what's happening? When did you know it? And we're going to find this out eventually, hopefully, that this has been a very corrupt administration from day one, and she's been right alongside of that. There's no way that she was there that she didn't know it.
Well, you're absolutely right about that. And going back to the 2020, you know, again, we can't rehash all of this, but there was a shock poll taken. 8 in 10 Americans thought the Biden laptop cover-up changed the election. Had that story been out there, again, 79% of Americans suggest Trump likely would have won re-election if voters had known the truth about the laptop, which, again, they coined as Russian disinformation. When you had all those intelligence officers writing the letter and aligning themselves with President Biden. I mean, that's a disturbing thing here, Congressman.
Well, it is. You know, if you think about Facebook and how they've been right in the middle of all of this, Crossfire Hurricane, all of the involvement in, you know, the conversation with the fake dossier, you know, the release of data internal to these groups to be able to write some of these papers, the falsehoods that were put forth in 2020 in that election process, or excuse me, all the way back to 2016 in that election process and coming forward. And then the impact of that, the relentless attacks on President Trump during his entire 4 years. And then to see what that impact was in 2020, as you just described. And now finding out that all of this was certainly being orchestrated by the Democrats, by the Biden administration, and potentially, if not, I think you're going to find the fingerprints all over this from the Obama administration and the cabal that goes along with the Democrats trying to control and move this country to a socialist nation. I mean, you're seeing this time and time again. You're seeing this egregious tax policy that Kamala Harris wants to do. You're seeing her flip-flop and the press not holding her accountable. You're seeing her not answer to the American people, not even holding a press conference. You're seeing all this play out. The American people, especially, and the press needs to see what disservice they're doing, the complete disrespect of the Democrat Party towards the media, not even giving them a chance to ask questions. And it needs to be stopped.
Yes, it does. And Congressman, we're going to have to leave it there. Always appreciate your great leadership and appreciate the great work of the Republican Study Committee. Thanks for coming on the show today.
Great to be with you. Thanks for having me.
All right. There you go, folks. Congressman Kevin Hern from Oklahoma represents District 1, weighing in on the very latest around Kamala Harris and these flip-flops in the economy. By the way, I've got to give a shout-out here. Before we go to break, I've got to give a shout-out to the Tennessee Republican Party. And they are playing hardball with the radical Democrats who control Memphis. Now, Tennessee is a majority, supermajority Republican state. They control everything, all right, except for Memphis, Tennessee, which is super majority blue, and it is a radical progressive city. Very dangerous people control Memphis right now, including a George Soros-style district attorney. So anyway, there are strict laws that prevent people from going after your guns here in the volunteer state. We take that very seriously, the Second Amendment. Except in Memphis, where they wanted to put a ballot referendum on gun control. In other words, the city of Memphis wanted to let the voters decide whether or not there should be gun control initiatives implemented in Memphis. And the state leadership said, you can't do that. That is, you cannot enact laws that supersede the state law. So anyway, it wasn't going anywhere. You know, it wasn't computing with the Democrats. So the Tennessee Republican leadership said, okay, here's the deal. You want to try and implement these gun control laws? Then guess what we're going to do? We're going to take away your state sales tax revenue. That's how you play hardball. And I want to give a shout out to House Speaker of the Tennessee House, Cameron Sexton, and Lieutenant Governor Randy McNally. And I say God bless those men because they're playing hardball. This is how the Republicans need to be playing, right? This is not some sort of a pickleball tournament down at the country club. This is a street fight with nunchucks and knives and all sorts of things. We've got a fight. And God bless the folks there, the Republicans in Tennessee, for standing up. And so now the Democrats are saying, maybe we don't need to be going down this route. Mm-hmm. You think so? So good for you, Republicans in Tennessee. That's how you win. All right, we've got to take a quick break here. 901-260-5926. That is our telephone number. Hour two of the Todd Stearns Radio Show. By the way, I want to thank Andy Hoosier from our great affiliate, KQAM in Wichita, Kansas. I want to thank Andy for filling in yesterday. I've been a little under the weather, nothing major, folks, at all, just with the dry weather. And many of you know, and I don't want to go into great detail, but with my awesome bionic Iron Man heart valve that I have, my aortic heart valve, shout out to the St. Jude people. Because of that, I happen to be on blood thinners. And so anyway, dry weather and craziness, and I had to take a day off. So anyway, thank you for that. But anyway, I'm down at the Germantown Pharmacy. That's my favorite. I don't know about you folks, but I love shopping locally as much as humanly possible. And I especially love family-owned businesses. You know, what we do here at Stearns Media Group, we are a family-owned business. And there's something special about that. And I love supporting family-owned businesses. And Germantown Pharmacy, one of our great local pharmacies, it's one of those places where you go in kind of like Mayberry and you sit around a while and you get your drugs. They have all sorts of great knickknacks. By the way, they sell my daily biscuit book there, and they're just good people. So anyway, I'm over there getting the drugs, and they were helping me out. And then they gave me a pie, a delicious chocolate chess pie from they sell different specialty foods, and it's from a place in Georgia, Newnan, Georgia, and it's called Khakis, K-A-K-I, Khakis Bakery or Khakis Sweets, and wow, what an amazing pie that was. Anyway, I credit the pie, not the drugs, for being back with you today. So there you go. What were we talking about? Oh, yes. So this cookie poll here in Pennsylvania, they have correctly predicted 3 out of the last 4 presidential races. So let's just hope the cookie crumbles in favor of the Republicans this go around. Also, want to give a shout out to our good friend, Ben Ball, the former manager over at WTKF, our great affiliate over in Moorhead City. And he sent me a question. He goes, Todd, forget about the interview. What about the unscripted press conferences? When can we expect those? It's a great question. It's a fair question. But again, ladies and gentlemen, we're just going to have to be smart. Speaking of being smart, I want you to do something for me. And we're going to get into Zuckerberg a little bit later on. I don't think Zuckerberg was sincere, and I don't think he was remorseful. I think he just did it because he was about to get caught. Let me tell you something. The crackdown on conservative content continues. There is only one way for you to work around this censorship, literally only one way. And we have tried. We have spent years reaching out and connecting with Facebook people, talking to humans there, and it's just the way they are. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to go to toddstearns.com, and you have to scroll to the bottom of the page. Scroll to the bottom of the page. You will see the red subscribe button there. You need to subscribe to my newsletter. It is free of charge. We do not sell your information. I don't share it. We keep that, and we keep that under lock and key. But you will be getting stories from us on a morning basis. Every morning we send out the morning newsletter. You see the top stories that you will just not see, even if you follow us on the socials, because they block it. But this is the only way. And I'm telling you, as we get closer to the election, the censorship is going to continue, which is why you need to go right now, toddstearns.com, scroll to the bottom, click on the red subscribe button, and you'll be able to get our free newsletter. And it comes out every morning around 7 o'clock Eastern time. Do that, folks. We've got to stay informed. We've got to keep everybody informed. We'll be right back. All right, coming up 8 o'clock Eastern tonight, I'll be filling in again on Prime News on Newsmax TV. Hope you join us. Governor Kristi Noem is going to be my very special guest. We're going to have a great conversation, and I hope that that you will take the time to join us. That's 8 o'clock Eastern, Prime News on Newsmax. Also, I got a note from my publisher last night. I don't know what you guys are doing, but a lot of you folks are buying copies of Twilight's Last Gleaming, Can America Be Saved? And I love that. Thank you. They have run out, at least temporarily, run out of the hardcover edition. So the publisher has a stock of softcover, that would be paperback, copies of Twilight's Last Gleaming on Amazon. So if you want to head over to Amazon and get them while you can, because they are selling like hotcakes, and we love to hear that. And I'm really excited because my message in Twilight's Last Gleaming is not doom and gloom. It is hope and inspiration, hope and glory. I really do believe that we are going to be able to turn all of this around. You know, we talked about this yesterday on the show, what's been happening over in Oklahoma at the Edmond North High School, where you had hundreds of people coming out waving American flags and standing up for Old Glory, this after a school administrator ordered a student to remove the American flag from his pickup truck. And the next day, people started showing up with American flags. I love that. We're talking about next generation Americans that are willing to stand up and fight for this country. And that really means something. And so when I wrote Twilight's Last Gleaming, I wrote it hoping that you, mom and dad, grandma, grandpa, would be giving a copy of the book to your grandchildren, to your sons, your daughters, your grandkids, so that they would understand, they would get a taste of what America really is all about, what America is meant to be. Oh, my apologies. If those of you listening to us in Vermont, I have to apologize. I've used some naughty words in my last statement there. Apparently, in Vermont, they now want moms and dads to stop calling their children sons or daughters. This coming from the Vermont Department of Health. They put out a post on social media, and they're saying language matters. When talking about family, it's important to use terms that cover the many versions of what family can look like. I'm not making this up here, folks. This is insane. So Vermont is now publishing an inclusive language guide for families. They're telling parents, and I'm curious, parents, would you follow this guidance? Would you follow this advice? The Department of Health says you should use terms like child or kid instead of daughter or son. Hey, kid, come here. I know it sounds kind of rude. I mean, Dylan, you're getting married soon, and then there will be little Dylans running around down the road, right? You guys are going to have kids.
Yes.
The family's got to, you know, continue.
I would love to have kids.
You got to procreate.
This is true.
So would you call if you have a son, would you call your son son, or would you call your son kid?
I'll call him son. If he's really in trouble, I'll say son, middle name, last name.
Oh, that's bad. When they're using the middle name,
you know you're in trouble.
Mm-hmm. Todd James Steins, get in here. Uh-oh.
Really bad.
That's not good.
Yeah. That's son or daughter.
All right, I like that. See, the problem with your generation, so if I were in the summertime and I'm outside playing and I hear my mom, Todd James Steins, get in here, you know what I'm doing? I'm hopping on the Huffy and I'm getting out of there. And back in the day, we didn't have smartphones, right? We had landlines. Those were stupid phones. And we didn't have, you know, internet, email. You know, that was back in the dark ages of the 1970s.
This is true.
And so when you were gone, you were gone. And when you finally get back, hopefully your mom forgot why she was yelling at you.
You know, I didn't have a phone until I was like 12, 13.
Is that right?
Yeah. So I was outside. I did the whole mom calling out my name. So
you're a young fellow. So your parents said, nope, phone for you.
Took a while to get around.
I think that's the best thing. I've seen like little first and second graders with their own cell phones.
Yeah, I'm not doing that. So that's the thing I'm taking into my marriage. When I have kids, they're not going to have the phone till, you know, 12, 13, 14, maybe.
What about social media? Will you let your kids on social media?
No, it's just, it's rotting the brains of my generation. And so it's just, it's not going to be good for them, you know? And I know that now because I've grown up with social media. So I see how bad it can be and how addicting it is. And outside.
I've noticed that a lot of people are just, they're turning off social media and they're just done with it.
Yeah. They're deleting the apps. Mm-hmm. So,
I mean, it can be addictive.
It really can. You can doom scroll. That's what it's called.
TikTok. Wait, what?
Doom scroll, Todd.
Doom scroll.
Where you're literally scrolling, you know, TikTok, you just scroll up. The next video is right there. You spend hours and hours just, you get lost in it.
Why do they call it doom?
Because you don't realize how long you've been on there until it's like midnight and you're like, I got to get up at 4:30.
Oh, wow. Well, that's before you know it.
Personal experience.
It sounds like you've got some experience there.
That's right.
Oh, by the way, Paul Shanklin, our great parody writer, says, Todd, kid is also a pejorative and it refers to a young goat. So you don't want to be calling your kid a goat. He says twerp is also excluded. You can't. Hey, jackass, get in here. I'm using the Old Testament version just in case anybody from church is listening. I'm just saying. Well, that is interesting. I didn't. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm curious. You just heard Dylan sharing with us the alarming routine of doom scrolling. Do you keep your kids away from social media? How young is too young? At what age would you allow your child to get a social media or get a smartphone or a cell phone or let them have their own social media pages? I actually know some people that don't. I think the kids can't get social media until they're like 16 or 17. And you know, back when Facebook first started, Dylan, you may not, you were just a little fella then, but you had to be of a certain age. For some reason, I think it was like 18 or 19. You had to be in college to be able to get Facebook. And then they dropped the age to, I think, 13. But there was a time when you just, you know.
I grew up with Instagram. Instagram was the first thing I got. So Facebook was already established, and it was kind of the old
people.
App.
It's old people.
It was
stuff.
The old. Now it's coming back, you know. Facebook's coming back. Instagram's going out.
Wow. So wait a second. So what's coming in again?
Facebook.
Facebook is coming back.
Facebook is coming back, and X is back.
X is.
So
yeah.
X is booming more than ever.
X is insane. It is so toxic, but people love it. And, you know, we do our best to try to keep people fairly entertained. I don't know. X is like the Wild West. All right, let's go to the phones here. 901-260-5926. Mac in Florida, and Mac, is it true you're watching the show on the X feed?
Hey, Todd, how you doing today?
Mac, I'm doing well. What's on your mind?
You know what? I wanted to talk about this crime rate that the left just don't seem to get. You know, I watched the, and I'll tell you why this came to light. I watched the Republican convention when Trump was saying that the crime rate was up. Immediately, I went to CNN, and they were saying how much of a lie he was, crime is down. So I did some research, you know, right after Biden took office, and I don't think many people know this, the FBI changed the way crime data is collected. And at the same time, you had many precincts, many states that was defunding police, so they're short staffed. And a lot of states doesn't participate, like California don't report any crimes, New York doesn't report any crime, and to my surprise, Florida doesn't report any crime. In addition to that, and I just want to add something to that, and I'll make it short. Prior to the change in the data reporting system, 21 states around the United States was reporting at above 50%. And now they are reporting about 10%. So there's a huge amount of crime that's just not being reported. But we know it's happening because all you got to do is just go out on the streets and survey individuals, and they'll tell you how crime is going in their cities or states.
Mac, it is insane, and I live in Memphis, Tennessee, and, you know, they're telling us, they're going out there and with smiles on their faces saying, oh, cry, it's just a perception. You're safe. No, people are getting robbed, carjacked, shot. It's insane. It's like a war zone out there. But they want you to, they're trying to feed you a false narrative, Mac. And they believe, and by and large, Mac, there are going to be a lot of people around America that are so disengaged, they're actually going to believe it.
And Todd, I tell you one other thing. When I was doing my research, I looked up the 10 worst cities, and this is prior to the data being changed, the way the collection of the data being changed. The 10 worst cities in the United States by capital, every single one, from a crime statistic standpoint, every single one is run by Democrats.
Yep.
And it's not like Democrats just took office. Many of these cities have been run by Democrats for the last 50 years. We have got to get away from the plantation. And that's what I say, because I'm black, you know, I've always been Democrat. But when I started opening my eyes and looking at what they're doing, I'm like, you know what, these guys are keeping us locked down and feeding us a lie.
Mac, I'm just curious, because again, Memphis is a majority minority city, and we hear from so many black conservatives out there who call into the program, and I'm just curious, what was it that led you off of that Democrat plantation?
You know, I think that I voted for Obama both terms, and halfway through his second term, I'm military retired. Halfway through his second term, when I seen what he was doing with, you know, with the gay community and letting men and women's bathroom, and I started looking at the agenda they were pushing, and I started really doing a lot of research. And at that point, I was like, you know what, I totally messed up. I missed the boat on this one, and I won't again. So I make sure that I stay up to breath with everything that's going on. And not only that, I'm a lover of Christ, and I see that everything that they're doing is against the Bible. Everything that they're doing is against the writings, biblical writings. And you know, I know everybody is not religious. Everybody's not a follower of Christ. And I'm all right with that. Y'all do what you want to do. But for me and my household, I say, you know, everything that the Democrat Party is against the Christ and what he stood for.
Amen to that. And I'm with you, Mac. We live in a great nation. You can worship God. You don't have to worship God. It's whatever. It's your choice, your decision. And I appreciate the fact that Donald J. Trump is standing up for the Constitution, standing up for the Bill of Rights, and he really does want to make America great again. And I think he's demonstrated. Let me ask you this. Do you think he's demonstrated through his policies, especially for the black community, that he doesn't just talk, but he does? He's a man of action.
You could tell by how, and I'm going to tell you, you could tell by how well our communities were doing during the Trump administration. We were doing so much better. And I tell you, I know this firsthand just by the number of people that I deal with, the number of people who was not calling me anymore asking for a loan, or can you give me this? And now it didn't pick back up because they're hurting. People are hurting right now. And here's the other reason. I'm going to go back to when you asked me, well, what brought you off the plantation? Here's the other thing. When you look at how hard they have went out there and continue to go after Trump, you know something's wrong. In the history of America, we have never tried to villainize anybody as hard as we tried to villainize Trump. Something is wrong. They don't want this man in charge because he threatened the narrative that they've been trying to push and that they continue to push.
Yeah, I think you're right. Mac, I want you to do me a favor. You got to promise to call back. I love the way you think, and I appreciate you calling into the show. And thanks for watching us on Twitter today.
All right, Todd, you have a good day, my friend. Keep spreading the truth.
All right, God bless. That's Mac from Twitter. We've heard from Christopher over in Chicago on our Rumble, and it's been a lot of fun to see the growth of our digital side. You know, I'm a radio nerd, but I love hearing from all of our friends in the digital world. All right, our telephone number, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. I want to tell you about our friends at Backyard Butchers. They are a Christian conservative Texas-based company, and they're dedicated to something that is very near and dear to my heart, hamburgers and steak. I know that's two things, but both are very near and dear to me. That's right. BackyardButchers.com. They are delivering American-raised and harvested meat from right here in American ranches. Grass-fed and grain-finished, and the meat tastes absolutely incredible. And what I love about it is you can actually order one time, or you can sign up for a monthly delivery. They will literally deliver this delicious American-raised beef right to your front door, steaks, hamburgers, you name it. Here's what I want you to do. Go to BackyardButchers.com/Todd. That's BackyardButchers.com/Todd. You're going to see a lot of beef on that page, including my face. And you're going to love it because you're going to get this, an extra 20% off your entire order by using my code Todd. And when you subscribe, you're going to get an additional 10% off and free shipping. I mean, who doesn't love that? So again, BackyardButchers.com/Todd. Use my first name, Todd. That's the code that will activate these great, great discounts. Got to take a break. We'll be right back. All right, listen up. All of you folks going to the University of Wisconsin. So, Dylan, are you graduating? When do you graduate? You graduate very soon, I hope.
December.
All right. Can we share this with the nation?
Yes.
All right. So you're graduating in December. And what is your degree?
My degree is in music business / music production.
Oh, nice. So you're using your degree right now.
I am.
All right. Very nice.
Awesome.
And you went to the University of Memphis. Is that right?
Unfortunately. No.
Don't say that. By the way, you know what's going to happen after you graduate.
What's that?
They're going to start asking you for money.
Well, they can't have it. They've already had enough of my money.
Yeah. So you went to the University of Memphis. Good, and you got a good degree, and I'm glad to hear this. All right. By the way, Dylan is getting married.
So many things are happening this year.
Wow. This is happening in, 3 weeks or so?
Oh, my gosh. Exactly a month from now.
We had to literally blow up. We had a big speaking event that had been on the schedule for ages, and we had to blow it up so I can get – I'm literally flying back, getting – to the airport, into the car, and heading directly to the wedding.
You're the guest of honor. You have to be there.
Am I the flower? Can I do the flowers? Is that
Ben asked me if I had a ring bearer, so I may assign you that role.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, you know, in the next hour, we may have to ask people, and we'll do this several times, just so because we want you to have as much marriage advice as possible.
Yes.
And our audience, most of them are very happily married. And some of them are not. Some of them have actually, maybe they have gotten a divorce so they can help you avoid the pratfalls. So if you have some advice for Dylan on marriage, give us a call, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Anyway, coming up, we're going to tell you about the University of Wisconsin. They're offering a whole litany of LGBT courses on queering ecofeminism. I don't know what that is. It may involve owning a Subaru dealership. I don't know. Also, something called performance activism. That sounds like Barack Obama's major. All right, got to take a break. We'll be right back, folks. Stick around.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. The people in Vermont are rising up. This is pretty entertaining, actually. By the way, welcome to Hour 3 of the Todd Starnes radio program. 170 radio stations now broadcasting this program, border to border, coast to coast, across the fruited plain. So we told you in the last hour about the Vermont Department of Health, and they're telling families they should no longer call their sons and daughters sons or daughters. Instead, they want parents to start using gender-neutral language. Now, they also want people to stop using terms like family members. Instead, you should use the term household members. And because they say that would include incarcerated individuals, step-siblings, and the like. The department says the language we use matters. When talking about family, it is important to use terms that cover the many versions of what family can look like. People are reacting. They're saying, how about letting people say what they want and stop being the woke police? If any of these terms offend you, daughter, family, etc., then you have the issue, not the person saying it. Another writing, imagine thinking anyone cares whether some hippie bureaucrat is offended by normal words. The Vermont Department of Health has also fully embraced social justice. They say their key values are equity, inclusion, and harmony. It sounds like that 1970s Coca-Cola commercial. You know, I'd like to teach the world to sing in perfect harmony. The Vermont Department of Health says we aim to center health justice and address racism and all forms of oppression in our programs and policies. To that extent, the government agency has posited a number of questions on its website. Number one, why is Vermont so overwhelmingly white? Now, this is a fair question. I've been thinking about this over the break, and I can't figure this one out. Maybe we need to be asking, why is Vermont so overwhelmingly woke? But I'm curious, ladies and gentlemen, why is Vermont so white? I mean, I never really thought about it. And what exactly is there to do? And I mean, you've got, what, syrup? Maple syrup? And they have moose and Bernie Sanders. That's about the extent of Vermont. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. Why is Vermont so white? Let's go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Timothy Head is the executive director for the Faith and Freedom Coalition. Timothy, you want to take a gander at that? Want to take a stab at that? Why is Vermont so white?
Well, I mean, I don't know. I mean, there's, I think that you can also, you know, probably do a lot of antiquing in Vermont. You know, but they, you know, I mean, they don't have, great athletic teams. They don't have, you know, a lot of things that a lot of urban communities, really, really enjoy being a part of. And look, I mean, if you've ever been to Norway or, you know, anywhere in Scandinavia, for that matter, if you've ever been to Wisconsin, you know, you find that a lot of, you know, historically, a lot of Scandinavian families moved to similar latitudes in the United States decades and now centuries ago. So, you know, there are logical explanations for this, but it doesn't mean that you have to kind of legislate, if not kind of like bully pulpit your way into the social justice woke police that you just talked about.
Well, you lost me at antiquing, but I get your point. But there's a broader point here, Timothy Head from Faith and Freedom Coalition. The broader point is so many people in Vermont are rising up and saying, this is insane. And Timothy, I wonder if we have reached the point that the line has been crossed by all of these critical race theory people and the woke people and the LGBT activists. And I wonder if they've pushed the entire country too far and we're about to push back.
Well, you know, so not only should, you know, we can talk about the kind of the woke elements of Vermont, but New Hampshire and Vermont also were among the most patriotic places during the Revolutionary War 200 and a little bit years ago. And so those people also really enjoy, the reason why a lot of them don't live in Boston or the suburbs, you know, of Connecticut, outside of New York City, is because they enjoy liberty and freedom. And so, you know, I would suggest to you, exactly as you just kind of alluded, that, you know, we all know that families are complicated in the year 2024. Anybody that lives in any family knows that, you know, none of us are just kind of this cookie cutter, you know, gingerbread house family. We all know that there's like permutations and derivatives here. So when we get the joke, we don't need the Department of Health to actually tell us the joke.
Well, that being said, again, I think when you look at the presidential election and what's driving people to the polls, I think they're going to see the Democrats as being this party that's trying to force this cultural agenda down their throats. And I'm wondering if that's going to be at play here as we go into the general election, especially among evangelical voters.
Well, I mean, it definitely includes evangelical voters. There is zero doubt about that. But it's not limited to evangelical voters. And look, I mean, DEI and ESG, you know, kind of the environmental, social, governance related corporate policies, investment policies that we've seen, They really are. I think most people are starting to really get the memo that they actually are just they're a form of racism and classism and dividing us by ethnicity. And more people are like, I would actually argue, by the way, the reason why there's an effort to kind of stir this pot, if you will, by the left, is because it's not working the way it used to work. So they, you know, they used to just be able to kind of like have Jesse Jackson call you a racist, you know, and the whole country moved into hysterics. Now there's actually more and more opportunity, equality, less discrimination in the workplace and schools, et cetera, which is a great thing. But instead of celebrating that, they have to kind of like up the ante.
I think that's a fair point. I am curious about evangelicals. On what percentage would you say evangelicals actually get out and vote on election day?
Yeah, it's a good question. Registered voters, we think that probably somewhere about 70% of evangelicals, self-proclaimed evangelicals, are registered to vote. And then we actually are seeing pretty high participation rates among that. So about 80% of those are actually voting.
Oh, wow.
And then on top of that, you know, of white evangelical voters. That's right. And right now about 81% of those, the last two elections, have voted for the Republican candidate. About 18 or 19% have voted for the Democrat candidate.
Are you seeing the enthusiasm there among evangelical voters as we head into November?
Equal to energy levels for other voters. To be honest with you, for the entire year of 2024, to oversimplify the narrative that we're getting, a lot of people just, there's no suspense in it. It's been Joe Biden, you know, until a few weeks ago. Joe Biden versus Donald Trump. What else are we going to learn that we don't know about these two people? Let's vote today. I was hearing that in February. So there's not like this huge anticipation. I will admit some of the antics definitely in Butler, Pennsylvania around President Trump. And then clearly in this kind of stunt pulled by the candidate switch has greatly kind of pumped the B12 shot into the evangelical voters that wasn't there, say, 6 weeks ago.
Are you guys concerned? Are you hearing concerns from pro-lifers? There's certainly a lot of anger and noise on social media. People are upset over the RNC platform. Many of our friends that we know are, you know, upset about this as well. Is that a factor here?
Yeah, very fair question. And I would say, you know, there probably was some consternation, maybe still be some consternation around the platform. But look, I mean, I think that like the specific kind of like document known as the platform, but generally speaking, I think most of us know that you know, Trump and the Trump administration has a very demonstrated history around life. I.e. the new Supreme Court unto itself. And then secondly, we also know that now the Harris and what the Walls campaign and administration have a pretty demonstrated and very radical position on life. So I think the sort of needle point around the specific platform, you know, in Milwaukee in June is very much in the rearview mirror. And most people are really kind of focused on the dangers really of a Harris administration.
And of course, Faith and Freedom Coalition, you guys have been getting a lot of incredible news coverage over the efforts of your group to get out there, knocking on the doors, getting people registered to vote. What's that been like?
Well, very encouraging. You know, we're really kind of focusing particularly in probably 7 or 8 states this election cycle. You know, I mean, Florida used to be a swing state. Florida's no longer a swing state. Ohio used to be a swing state. Not so much these days. And so a lot of our focus has been in the Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania, Georgia, North Carolina, Arizona, Nevada. And so, you know, the huge numbers that we've done in the past in terms of registration are not quite as big nationally because we've really been kind of trying to laser focus in those 7 or 8 competitive places. And we believe that we've seen about a 3 to 6% uptick in the number of registered voters in each of those respective states, which is more than enough as long as we can kind of reach them and reactivate them to make a very, very significant empirical difference in November.
All right. Well, Timothy Head, ladies and gentlemen, with the Faith and Freedom Coalition, ffcoalition.com. If you want to get involved, get engaged, volunteer, become a part of the effort. I mean, it really is, Timothy, going into the election. I mean, this really truly is a pivotal point in American history. I've been calling it an inflection point in American history. How do you gauge what we're about to do in November?
Well, inflection point is, I think, a very fair word. This is history. We are truly living in a historic generation. And some people prefer to be kind of an observer. For me, at least, and for our family, this is an opportunity for us to be part of making history. And we believe that we need a maximum, I mean, every single oar in the water rowing together. And I think that's the way that we're going to not only have good results in November, but frankly, turn the ship of the entire United States.
I'm with you there. All right. Well, Timothy, we got to leave it there. Always good hearing from you and appreciate the great work you guys are doing out there.
Thanks so much, Todd. God bless.
All right. There you have it, folks. Timothy Head from the Faith and Freedom Coalition. Good people there. And in all seriousness, they are very effective. They're actually more effective than the Republican Party in getting out the vote. They really are. And I'm looking forward to a big event coming up in North Carolina. I'll be out there in September talking at one of the big Salt and Light conferences hosted by the North Carolina Faith and Freedom Coalition. All right, I got to go back to this. This is insane. This story out of Vermont. And it really does. I'm just wondering if the left, they are inadvertently mobilizing a lot of people who normally would not get out to vote because of these insane policies. I mean, this is crazy. The Vermont Health Department doubling down now, and they're saying that all of the outrage over their policies, they say the post is intended to encourage inclusive language when you don't know someone's family situation. This is especially important in settings like classrooms, after-school programs, and sports teams. I'm not buying it. I believe that the ultimate goal, I mean, when you look at all of these policies, you know, erasing gender norms, casting doubt on little boys and girls as young as 4 years old now, by the way, that they may not be a little boy or a little girl, this is all meant to destroy the traditional American family, which, by the way, is a goal of the communist-backed Black Lives Matter movement to fundamentally transform the nuclear family in America. So, again, when you wipe away all of the family structure, you're left with the government being mommy and daddy. You got to pay attention to this stuff, folks, and we do here on this program. So these are it's okay to mock these kinds of things happening in Vermont, but you need to understand we've got to take this stuff seriously. That being said, why is it that there are so many white people in Vermont? 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
We don't need to build a wall.
Let me be very clear. I'm not going to vote for a wall under any circumstances.
The president's medieval vanity project is not going to stop that.
This issue is about a vanity project for this president.
Right.
This is a crisis of his own making.
For the sake of this president's medieval vanity project.
Folks have plenty enough problems that they need their president to focus on instead of a wall.
Basic English language definition. It is not an emergency.
Donald is ripping off another Trump idea. The big, beautiful border wall.
Wall was something she once called, quote, un-American when Trump was in office.
Now, of course, she's taking, at least rhetorically, a much tougher line on border security.
We talked about this wall. Let me know how high it is. If it's 25 feet, then I'll invest in the 30-foot ladder back.
The latest example of Harris flip-flopping on her past liberal positions.
What do you make of her transformation on this issue?
After decades in law enforcement, I know the importance of safety. I refuse to play politics with our security. Here is my pledge to you.
All right, there you go. Just a little audio there, a montage our team put together showing you once again that Kamala Harris is flip-flopping. By the way, Kamala Harris said that she is now supporting fracking, but here's what she said just a little while ago. Cut 7.
There's no question I'm in favor of banning fracking. So, yeah, and starting with what we can do on day one around public lands, right? And then there has to be legislation. But, yes, and this is something I've taken on in California. I have a history of working on this.
All right. She also talks about how she is pro-law enforcement. That's not been the case. Again, cut number 10.
And then also, again, what we need to do about taking, demilitarizing our schools, and taking police officers out of schools. We need to deal with the reality and speak the truth about the inequities around school discipline.
Wow. This is insane. And the what's unique about Kamala is we've got her on the record. So when she's out there saying, well, now that she supports building a border wall, when we've got hours of video and audio showing the exact opposite, they have to call her out on this during the CNN debate, or rather interview. They have to. They absolutely have to. 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. Here's Kamala Harris. Here's what you have to look forward to if she gets elected. Cut number 3.
Never let anyone take your joy from you. I call myself a joyful warrior. Right? Never let anyone take your joy from you. You do what you gotta do. And isn't that a wonderful way to live? To know you have purpose.
You gotta do what you gotta do. Is it making sense to you now? By the way, this use of the word joyful, this is an old Soviet tactic, and we're going to get into more of that a little bit later on. But you have to be very careful with the words. Their word choice, it's very deliberate on the Democrat side. All right, we've got to scoot out of here. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Did America go? The land of the brave and the free. Can one generation erase a great nation? 'Cause we can't find a way to agree. 'Cause we can't find a way to agree. Where has America gone? Where are Abraham, Martin, and John? We drowned out their voices and gave up our choices. Do we have the strength to move on? Do we have the strength to move on?
All right, wow. What an incredible message. This is a brand new song that is literally sweeping across the nation right now. And people are really responding to the message in these powerful lyrics. Where did America go? That is the song. And the gentleman you heard singing it is an American icon, an American hero and patriot. The legendary Pat Boone joins us today. Pat, what an honor to have you on the show today.
Well, I really appreciate that intro. And I want to live up to it, you know, because I am in my latter days. Of course, I'm 90, but I'm still recovering from a broken hip, and I was in a very strenuous workout at the gym yesterday. I'm sore for it today, but I'm going to be back on the golf course, and mainly I'm trying my best to use every ounce of my energy these days and my public awareness, people are aware of whoever I am, to call my country back to who we are and who we were. We're losing our own identity. We're losing our own principles for living. I mean, if you can see Nazi swastikas on college campuses now, and praise for Hamas and tent cities in almost every town in America, people are living on the sidewalk. people afraid to walk on their sidewalks for fear of cars being pulled over and broken into. And I mean, violence, we're having to live with the threat of all kinds of things happening to us, even politically. And that's not America. That's not the America we grew up in, not the America we want to preserve for our kids. So I'm trying to call us back to sanity with this song, and I purposely tried to emulate my friend Bob Dylan. I tried to get him to help me write the song, but he's on tour with the Outlaws, and he wasn't really available, and I couldn't wait. So I went ahead and got a great guitarist named Lawrence Juber, and with a rhythm guitar, and a harmonica player, Tom Rosen, and then a producer, Michael Lloyd, who happens to live across the street from me here in Beverly Hills. And we just recreated something. I wanted to sound like it was just a demo created in a garage.
Well, it's interesting because that's exactly when I heard the song, I thought, man, that reminds me of Bob Dylan.
Thank you. That's what I wanted.
Wow. Before we get to the song, and I have so many questions, Pat, but you know, we have a lot of young listeners, and they may not be aware of the incredible career that you have had going all the way back, to the 1950s. And we're talking about, I mean, this is remarkable. Nearly 50 million records you've sold, 38 top 40 hits. And of course, not to mention your film career. And of course, your great friendship with the late great Billy Graham. And of course, you and your late wife, y'all were friends with the Grahams.
Yep. Yeah, we certainly were. Billy and Ruth, we visited in each other's homes. I was with Billy on the morning that Saddam Hussein came up out of the spider hole in Iraq. And we were sitting there by the roaring fire and talking about it being a fulfillment of biblical scripture, almost of Satan. Is this the one, the troubler of the earth? Look at him. He's down there in the hole now. And I was with Billy Graham on that morning. I'll never forget it. But we were close friends, as I was with Ronald Reagan and so many others along the way, and shared. We prayed together. We laughed and we enjoyed family and loved this country together. And so that's been the way I've lived and had all the great encouragements along the way. I've known every president since Truman, and I used to take hosted the Easter Seal Telethon for about, oh goodness, 16 years, and I would take the Easter Seal poster child to the White House every year, and visit with whoever was president then, and of course Reagan would hand out jelly beans to the poster child. But I've just had these relationships with not only with our presidents, but with kings and queens. And I had two command performances with the Queen of England. Once when I was still in college at Columbia, and I sang her my rock and roll songs in the Palladium Theater, and then met with her afterwards, the Queen of England. I mean, I was a college student.
Wow.
But singing rock and roll. But at that same time, in that same period in my early career singing rock and roll, a teen idol, I recorded the first ever million-selling hymn album called Hymns We Love that I had led as a song leader in church services as a teenager. And so I knew that the teens would buy anything I recorded at that time, a page out of the phone book. They might not have liked it, but they'd have bought it. Hmm. And so I recorded favorite hymns from church when I grew up, and all the favorite ones that people still know and love today, but teens didn't know then. And so I just used the platform that I was given, not only to sing rock and roll and then movie themes, and eventually became the most recorded artist in history. And most people don't know this, but Frank Sinatra recorded some 1,500 songs. My early role model was Bing Crosby, he recorded some 2,000 songs, but I now have recorded 2,700 songs, and I'm still recording. And after 70 years, that first million seller was 1955, and was a rock and roll song, rhythm and blues song, called Two Hearts, One Heart's Not Enough, Baby. Two hearts will make you feel crazy. One kiss will make you feel so nice. Two kisses take you to paradise. Two hearts, two kisses make one love. And that was my first million seller, which led to my meeting with Elvis when he was my opening act later that year in 1955.
And
he had one.
And Pat, let me jump in here because our show is broadcast in my hometown is Memphis, Tennessee, and the radio station I purchased here was the first radio station where Elvis performed back when he was a teenager. And to your point, Elvis was your opening act in Brooklyn, Ohio, back in 1955.
55, October of 55.
Wow.
And he had his one record recorded in Memphis on Sun Records, and it was a bluegrass song, Blue Moon of Kentucky, Keep on Shining. Well, that didn't sound like rock and roll, although he tried to make it sound like rhythm and blues. But the other side, after he finished singing that song and the kids didn't know what to make of it, though they liked the way he looked and the way he was lip-syncing his record, but he wasn't swiveling around the stage. He was just standing there strumming a guitar, pantomiming his record. But when he finished and the audience, the kids loved him the way he looked, and he said, thank you very much, I'd like to do the other side of that record for you, hope you like it. And it was That's All Right Mama, That's All Right With Me.
Yeah.
And that was rhythm and blues, and that got him, but that's all he had. So he left, and then I came on after him, got all the screams, because I had 3 million sellers October of 55. I'd only been recording since March. But my records were rhythm and blues. And so I beat him to the punch. And then the rest of that decade of the 50s, I had 41 chart records and he had 40. But I had the six-month head start on him.
Pat Boone is joining us here on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line today. And Pat, you know, I just finished watching the new Reagan movie. I got an advanced copy of it, and it's in theaters coming out later this week. And I was just really I was reminded that what is old is new again, and going back to the 1950s and 60s with the rise of communism, I wonder, are you sensing that as well, that we're watching the rise of communism again in this country?
Oh, no, without doubt at all. It can be no question. Their goal, which was elaborated a long time ago, Dr. Fred Schwartz in the 50s wrote a book, You Can Believe the Communists to Do What They Say. And they said, we must infiltrate entertainment and education and obliterate religion, and we can take over any nation, including America. Mm. And they've never let up. And we now know that with all the high-tech things that are happening and the ability to hack into, and, I mean, you know, there's these things like congressmen and other people, very important people, being attacked with brain attacks and not knowing where they came from. I mean, it's secret techniques, but they're communists. Not only, I mean, we have people, we've elected people who were admitted communists. I don't know if he's still Van Jones. I don't know if he's still, you know,
on CNN.
Communist.
Mm-hmm. You're right.
But I mean, he was elected as a communist, and there are others there too. And of course, socialists. We're rife with socialists, which is basically communism. They learned to call themselves progressives instead of communists. But anything that is really adequately or accurately called progressive as a party and as a policy is basically communism. It is the takeover of government and all rules by one government that will tell all of us how we can live and what we must do and what we can't do to replace our constitution.
Pat, let me jump in here. We have a caller, Ed from Georgia, who's a big fan of yours, and he wanted to say hello. Ed, you're on the air with Pat Boone right now. What would you like to tell Pat?
Hey, Mr. Boone, what an honor to speak to you. Just a ton of respect for you. Long life, God has been good to you. When you were leading songs as a teenager, was that in the Church of Christ?
Yes, I'm still in the Church of Christ. Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, I was disfellowshipped by one congregation in Inglewood, California, when Shirley and I became known as charismatic Christians. We did come into the charismatic movement, which basically is the same Holy Spirit that that Peter announced when he was asked by this first crowd on the Pentecost day of Pentecost, what we've crucified the Messiah, what must we do? He said, repent, be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Well, that was part of how you get to be Christian, and that we do are entitled to the gifts of the Holy Spirit. But in the Churches of Christ for many, many years, we thought, and our doctrine was, that that the day of miracles and supernatural works by the Holy Spirit had passed. And the reason we weren't experiencing any of them was because we didn't believe in them. And we didn't believe they were for today. But gradually there was a whole sweep in the 70s, and which was called the Jesus Movement, if you remember. And people were discovering that the Holy Spirit is still very much alive and available and wants to. In fact, Jesus said in that upper room when he was going to be crucified in just hours, he said, the Holy Spirit has been with you, but he's now going to be in you. Well, can the presence of the Holy Spirit be in you and you not have any supernatural capability? But it's something we have to believe in and put into practice, and I understood. And when I was disfellowshipped, people kept coming up for years afterwards. Son, when are you coming back to the church? That's coming back. I've never left. I said, there's only one church, isn't there? Haven't we always believed there's only one?
Pat, I hate to do this. We are coming up on a hard break here that we have to take, and you know how radio works. But I want to thank Ed for calling in. And, Ed, thank you for that great question. And, Pat, we could have you back on for the full 3 hours to talk about what God has done and the incredible career you've had. I just want to say thank you for serving our country, and thank you for just releasing this incredibly powerful song.
Well, I hope people will keep listening to it and then do what it says, get on our knees and pray and bring God back into the picture. He still loves us. He still blesses America. His name is still on our currency if we don't take it off. So God bless you and thank you, and I'll come again if you want.
All right. Pat Boone, everybody, the brand new song, Where Did America Go? We have a link to it on our website, toddstearns.com. And let's give Pat Boone another number one hit in America. Wouldn't that be awesome? Where Did America Go? All right, folks, we've got to take a quick break here. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stearns Show.
You may me cry when you said goodbye. Ain't that a shame? My tears fell like rain.
Dylan Pianis, did you know Pat Boone?
I have not heard of him.
This guy, 90 years old.
That's awesome.
He sounds like he's 60.
Yeah, still making music, working out.
Pretty remarkable. Yeah, he was talking with a broken hip, but I'll be back out on the golf course. Wow. I wonder what the secret is to the healthy life. But anyway, that was Pat Boone from back in the 1950s. Ain't that a shame? And he was sort of like Dylan. I guess he was the Justin Bieber of his time.
It sounded like it.
The girls would swoon. He was like the clean cut version of Elvis. So there that was the, you know, you could tell you could tell the rivalry, right?
I was smelling it a
he
little
was
bit.
Throwing some shade on Elvis.
That was his competition.
That was great. I love it. I love it. But Pat Boone's just a great American hero and patriot. And man, what an incredible career. And he sounds great. But it sure would be fun to have the number one song in America be Pat Boone, a 90-year-old. He's still got it. Wow. Unbelievable. All right. Tomorrow, folks, we're going to have another great show tonight. Governor Kristi Noem is going to join us. Also, Congressman Kevin Kiley with this crazy story out of California. They're giving illegals $150,000 to go out and buy houses. American citizens, Californians, you're not allowed the money, but they're going to give it to the illegals. Also, do not forget, the censorship is underway again on social media. Head over to toddstearns.com, scroll to the bottom of the page, and sign up for my daily newsletter. Comes out every morning at 7 o'clock Eastern. It's the only way we can get around the censorship on social media. All right, we got to scoot out of here, folks. It's been a great day. You be good, America.